Good morning. Are we on, John? Just like that. Well, today I want to talk to you about precious memories. Today is what we commonly refer to as Memorial Day weekend. And tomorrow, for some of you, is what we refer to as Decoration Day. And maybe you have already been to the cemeteries and have already visited the graves of your loved ones. And that is a common practice for this weekend. And as I was driving through the countryside, I noticed the beautiful flowers that were adorning the graves of many of the little country cemeteries as I was coming this direction. And so that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today in this message. And in just a moment, we'll read the text of Scripture that I've chosen. And we'll be referring to many other passages of Scripture in the Bible. So we will be honoring our loved ones that have gone before us in this message together today. But I have a story to tell to you. I hope that that's okay. I've got to find my spectacles and put them on so that I can get everything straight. But here's the story. As keynote speaker was in such a hurry to get to the venue where he was speaking that when he arrived and he sat down at the head table, he suddenly realized he had forgotten his dentures. And so turning to the man next to him, he whispered, "I forgot my teeth." And the man said, "No problem." With that, this man reached into his briefcase and he pulled out a pair of dentures. He said, "Try these." And the speaker tried them and he said, "Too loose," he said. The man dug around in the briefcase again, and he said, "Try these." And he handed him another pair. And he tried them, and he responded, "Too tight." And the man seemed taken aback, didn't seem to be taken aback at all, and he dug around again in his briefcase, and he pulled out another pair, and he gave them to the speaker, and the speaker smiled with approval, and he said, "They fit perfectly." And so he ate his meal and he gave his speech and without any problems at all. So after the event, he concluded, the speaker went over to thank his benefactor and return the spare parts. He said, "I just want to thank you for coming to my rescue." And he said, "Where is your office? I've been looking for a good dentist." The guy said, "Oh, I'm not a dentist." He said, "I'm the local funeral director." Ooh! Ooh! That's creepy. Oh, man alive, I can't hardly take that. That's just too much. Yeah. Precious memories. How they linger. How they ever flood our soul. And I'm sure that that is something that has happened to you as you approach this weekend and as you did decorate the graves of your loved ones, are going to decorate the graves of your loved ones. There are going to be so many memories that are going to flood your soul as you think about the loved ones that have gone before us. And that's kind of where we are, and that's what we want to talk about today. Now, there are a couple of passages in the Scripture that we'll use kind of as a launching pad for the remarks that I have to share with you. But the actual title of this message is not Precious Memories, but it's rather Give Honor to Whom Honor is Due. And I'm going to talk to you about our loved ones, and I'm going to talk to you about those who have given so very much for our country and have provided for us the freedoms that we have and we share in this moment today as we have gathered in this place and we are worshiping the Lord in freedom and freedom from fear of any evil happening to us for worshiping God. And so we're going to look at that. But let's take a look at, first of all, let's look at the passage that is before us in Philippians, the fourth chapter, and verse 8. And I'm going to be reading to you from the New American Standard Version of the Bible. Take note of what Paul says to the church at Philippi. His word of admonition to them is this. In the fourth chapter, verse 8, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things." You know, used to bother me when I went to funerals, there would be eulogies offered at funerals. Used to bother me just a little bit about that, and I wondered whether you ought to do that or not. And I have come to the conclusion, based on this verse of Scripture alone, that it is a good thing to do. And it is perfectly appropriate, and I think it's a comfort to the family. I think it's good for us to be focused upon the good things that a person has had and offered in their lives. And so I have no problem with that anymore. In fact, I do that quite often in the messages that I share in funerals, as I share a eulogy, always a eulogy of the person that I am honoring and respecting their memory. So this passage talks about it. The other passage that talks about it in the Scriptures is found in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And just one verse there, verse 4. This is what's called, in the 11th chapter, is called the Hall of the Faithful. You know, we have our Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame, and our Football Hall of Fame, and the various Rock and Roll Hall of Fames. We've got all kinds of Hall of Fames. Well, this is the Bible Hall of Fame, the Hall of the Faithful Ones, the ones who were faithful to the Lord. And listed right here at the very first of the text, number one person on the list was Abel. And so let's read verse 4 of chapter 11, which says, "By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he yet speaks." And we know that that is so very true. After all this time that has passed, that we can still, all of us, tell the story of Abel and his life of service and his faithfulness to God. And we are able to share that message because his life testified to us. And even though he's dead, he keeps on speaking. And that's really the idea behind the whole message. And we can fold our tent, so to speak, and I can take my Bible and go home. Because that's the message today that I want to share with you. But the Bible urges us to show honor to whom honor is due, which is a good thing. And I shared with you these two passages of Scriptures which say to us is a good thing. The Bible also says in the book of Psalms that our life is like a tale that is told. Some tales are long and some tales are short. But our life is like a tale that is told. And Paul said concerning our lives that we're like a letter that is written and read by men. And so how is the gospel according to you and to me? That really is the gospel that's the only gospel that some people ever read. That's some that they ever hear. And that's the one that they see in our lives, that we live a life for Jesus on a daily basis. And so we've come today to honor the memory of those who have gone before us. Our God said in Psalms 66, verse 1 and 2, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. And you know, we honor God this day. And we honor our parents this day. Ten Commandments say, honor your father and your mother, that your days be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. I'm sure there everyone that is sitting here today has had the influence of a godly father or a godly mother in their lives. It's not going to be long before we're going to have Father's Day. We had Mother's Day, and we're getting ready to have Father's Day. But the Bible says to honor your father and your mother. And then we're to honor our brothers in Christ. In Romans, the 12th chapter, and verse 10, it says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Do you give preference to your brothers and sisters in Christ? We need to do that. We need to be thinking about all the wonderful things that, you know, we have experienced in our life, in the fellowship of the Lord's people, and how they have truly impacted us. And then the Bible tells us that we're to honor our leadership in the sense that we're to honor the elders of the church. In 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, and verse 17, it says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. And by the way, did you know that the Bible talks about honoring the position of the eldership in the church? You don't think of them as dictators in the church, but we need to think of them as leadership of the church, as shepherds of the flock, and they are involved in pastoral ministry. And I can tell you, after being in the Lord's church since I was just a little whippersnapper, I can tell you of men that I've looked up to and have great respect for. You know, the other day I was looking at my ordination certificate that is on the wall at our home, and I was noticing the names on the ordination certificate and of the leaders of the church at Bella Vista Christian Church in Garland, Texas, and thinking, boy, Lord, I'm so thankful that you have blessed my life with these men. And I thought about my grandfather, who was a chairman of the deacons in the church at Miami Christian Church in Miami, Oklahoma, where they had over 1,000 people attend in that church for years. And I thought of the wonderful men who served as leaders in the church there at Miami, and what an impact they've had on my life. And I can honestly say to you today, as I stand before you as a preacher in this pulpit, if it were not for those men throughout my history in the Lord's church impacting me every Sunday and coming up and talking to me just as a young child and as a young man and offering words of encouragement, that I wouldn't be a preacher. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for them. And so I honor the leaders in the church. And then we need to honor our wives, gentlemen. The Bible says in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter and verse 7, "You husbands likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way as with a weaker vessel." And we just fall all over that statement, the weaker vessel. You know, she's the weaker vessel. Well, she's very important, since she is a woman, and grant to her honor and the fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. We need to honor, and I would give this testimony today as well, that I would never have made it in the ministry all these years, been a minister almost now for 50 years, and it's all been made possible because of my sweet wife, Suzanne. And she's been by my side through this whole time, and she's spoken words of encouragement to me, and she's helped me, and so I greatly offer my honor to her. And then the Bible says that we're to honor the king in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verse 17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. I don't know about you, but I've been distressed by the attitude that people have had towards a president of our United States of America. I've never in all of my life ever experienced a time when people showed more disrespect and dishonor for the presidency of the United States. Now, he's not a perfect man, and he says some stupid things from time to time. We all know that. But he's still president of the United States, and we need to show honor and respect towards him. And then the last thing that I wanted to mention and wanted to proceed for the rest of this message is we need to honor our protector. We need to honor our protectors. Romans, the 13th chapter, verses 1 and 2 say this. It says, "Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those who exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed all receive condemnation for themselves." We should show respect to the law enforcers, the freedom fighters and protectors of this great land. It is very fitting and appropriate to give honor to our service people this day. And today we are intending to do that and want to mention a few things that for your consideration as we get into this precious memories and honoring those who have gone before us in the service of our country, and as well as our loved ones that we have mentioned already in the introduction. But let's pray. And then I have three things that I want to mention to you in the message. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for your love and your care for us. I thank you, Lord, that you cared enough to give your son Jesus, that he was willing to live a life of service, and Lord, that he was willing to give himself completely for us, to the point that he was willing to even die on Calvary, that he might give himself as a sacrifice for our sins. Without him, we would be utterly lost. But because of Jesus, we have so very much. And we thank you for that. And we are going to remember him this day in a special way. I thank you for those who have gone before us, who have given their lives in service of this country. And I pray that you will bless their families. And we are just so fortunate to be able to worship in freedom. And Lord, I thank you for this opportunity we have to be in this place of worship. I pray that our worship has been acceptable to you. And we exalt you, Lord. You are the true and the living God, without which we would be nothing. But we thank you for that. We pray it all in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. As we honor the dead that have gone before us, and especially those who have died in the service of our country, I noticed that there was on one of the screens today that all gave some, but some gave all, is in my mind today as we're thinking about the sacrifice that they. There were those who gave so much. I want to say to you that just marks in my mind this thought that we need to learn. We need to learn, first of all, that freedom is not free. Let me say thank you before this group of people. I want to thank the Lord for the sacrifice of many. Especially our service people and our veterans. They gave so much. Their time, their home for a period of time. My uncle, John Vincent, was a full colonel in the Air Force, and he was dedicated to his service of his country. He flew in four wars. He flew in World War II. He flew in Korea, he flew in Vietnam, and he flew in Desert Sin. And he was a base commander at Offutt Base in Nebraska for 2 years. And he gave up a lot over the years. I remember Aunt Nina and Uncle John, it didn't seem like they ever lived in one spot for very long. And they move them, you know, they move them, and they'd move them. And I thought about my cousins, my first cousins, and not having, the same school for very long. It may be 4 years in this school and 4 years in that school and 4 years in another school. My aunt Nina, till the day my uncle John died, had some things that she put in boxes that she never opened the boxes. She just moved the boxes from one house to the next. And so they didn't have what they could call a home like you and I have called home, and a family relationship that like you and I have called a family relationship. But their career and their finances and so it's true that some gave all and all gave some, but they gave their todays for our tomorrows. Some sacrificed life and limb for my freedom. And if you just looked at war casualties alone, it just is—it's overwhelming to consider those who gave the ultimate price, which was their life's blood, so that we might be able to. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, the red on the flag, the American flag, represents the blood sacrifice of our veterans for our freedom. And I'm thankful. I don't know about you. I came across this little piece I want to share with you. It is the veteran, not the preacher, who has given us freedom of religion. It's the veteran, not the reporter, who has given us freedom of the press. It's the veteran, not the poet, who has given us freedom of speech. It's the veteran, not the campus organizer, that has given us freedom to assemble. It's the veteran, not the lawyer, who has given us the right to a fair trial. It's the veteran, not the politician, who has given us the right to vote. It is the veteran, not, it's the veteran who salutes the flag, who serves under that flag. Let me say thank you for the sacrifice to the veterans. And then I want to say thank you for the sacrifice to the soldiers of the cross. Jesus is the ultimate captain of our faith, and He gave so very much. He gave up heaven for us. He came down that we might go up. He gave out when He was here on this earth His time and His comfort and His security. He came to set the captive free from sin. He gave His all on Calvary to purchase our freedom. God demonstrated His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And John, the 15th chapter and verse 13, it says, greater love hath no man than this. And He laid down His life for His friends. While our salvation and grace cost us nothing, it cost Him everything. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Are you thankful for the warriors of faith who have delivered the message of freedom to you over the ages? All the apostles save one died a martyr's death. And you need to realize that without that, we would not be here today, and we could not worship here today, and we could not study God's Word, and we could not be able to celebrate the freedom that we have here at this point in time. Freedom is not free. And then we also learn, to fight for what is right. Our enforcers and protectors are called and commissioned to fight for the right. Oh, the debate rages on to how far we should go with this, but the Bible teaches us that morality matters. Humanity matters. Freedom matters. We need to fight for the right. We need to fight to preserve freedom and save the oppressed and protect the innocent. Resist evil. It says in Proverbs, the 14th chapter, in verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. God also says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. We shouldn't be afraid to stand up for the right when God ordains it and is behind it. Can you say amen to that? And so as soldiers of the cross, we must fight for the right. At the end of his life, the great apostle Paul noted, I fought a good fight. And Paul urged us to put on the armor of God in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 18. And we need to do that. We need to stand up for Jesus, the soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner. It must not suffer loss. Some saints, unfortunately, will not stand for truth and righteousness and end up falling for everything. We need to accept the challenge to teach and preach the gospel of peace, love, and truth. But speaking the truth in love means that we are willing to do that and aren't afraid to do that at any moment, that we will speak the truth out of love to help this land where we live. So I want you to learn that freedom's not free. I want you to learn to fight for what's right. That's the right thing to do. And then the last thing I would say to you is we need to learn to be faithful to the end. I would say to our veterans, thank you for staying faithful to your post. There's a story of a soldier who had had enough and he was going to get out that night. He was going to get out of base camp. No matter what, he was going to get out. And so he headed towards the gate. He's going to get out of there. And there was a guard posted to stop whoever approached. And as the soldier came near the guard said, "Halt!" But this young man never slowed down. He kept on coming. Again, the guard said, "Halt!" If anything, he sped up his pace and kept on coming. Finally, the guard said, "Halt, or I will shoot!" And the determined soldier raced right past the guard and was heard to say as he went past the guard, he says, "I have a brother in hell, I have a mother in heaven, and I have a girl in Chicago, and I'm going to see one of them tonight." You talk about motivation. We cannot be thankful for the determined, dedicated, devoted, faithful warriors who stand at their post. The following is attributed to gentleman Jim Colbert, who held the heavyweight boxing title for 5 years at the end of his the end of the 19th century. Some of you may remember him as a boxer. Gentleman Jim was what he was called. But at the end of the century, he should fight one more round was his theme. When your feet are so tired that you have to shuffle back and forth to the center of the ring, fight one more round. And when your arms are so tired you can't hardly lift them up, and your hands to guard yourself from the boxing of the opponent, fight one more round. When your nose is bleeding and your eyes are black and you're so tired that you wish your opponent would crack you on the jaw and put you to sleep, fight one more round. Remembering that the man who fights one more round is never whipped. Fight one more round. And after that round, we fight another. And we must keep on fighting to the end if we expect to experience victory. After deliverance at Dunkirk of what proved to be one of the greatest speeches ever given by Winston Churchill, Churchill rallied Britain with his most memorable speech. He said, and I quote, "We shall fight on the beaches, we shall fight on the landing grounds, we shall fight in the fields and in the streets, and we shall fight in the hills, and we shall never surrender." Christian soldiers need to fight to the end. Revelation, the second chapter in verse 10 says, "Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you a crown of life." A crown of righteousness. A crown of eternal life with Jesus. Jesus said, "All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved." And so, the message today is to give honor to those who to whom honor is due, and we learn these three lessons. We learn freedom is not free, and we learn that that we should fight for what is right, and that we should be faithful to the end. I want to close with this song. I'm not going to sing it. I'd like to be able to sing it for you. But I'm the bass singer in the preacher's quartet, and I can't sing high notes. And it's frustrating to me because so many of the songs nowadays are pitched high. And so it's hard for me to even sing in a song service because it just gets beyond what I can do. But anyway, I can read to you the words of this song, and I even sang a solo in this song I really like. It's called the Blood Wars Band. And it goes like this. "We're a band of Christian soldiers fighting Satan every day. We're standing up for Jesus while we're kneeling down to pray. if His precious blood has cleansed you and washed away your sin, that makes you a member of the blood-washed band. Praise God, I'm a member of the blood-washed band. I've been washed in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. I was bound by the chains of sin until one day the Master came and made me a member of the blood-washed band. I pray God's blessing upon you and pray that this Memorial Day will be special for you as you have those precious memories flooding your soul. Welcome them and allow them to encourage you and be an encouragement to those around you. Show respect and honor due to those who have given so much that we can have what we have in the freedom of being able to worship even today in this place. And I pray that you will have a great holiday and that some of you be going, being around family. And I just pray that you'll celebrate all that. We have so much because so many have given so much that we can be here, including all those loved ones that have gone before us, our veterans, and especially our Lord Jesus Christ. It's invitation time. And I realize, you know, that most everybody here is already a Christian and that you love the Lord and that everything's right with you and Jesus. But you never know. I mean, there may be something that's holding you back and you're not giving everything for Jesus. I just pray and invite you to think about your relationship to Him, and I pray it's squared up like it should be. And if not, then, you know, we're here to help you. And so let's stand and have our closing song together, and we'll conclude. You better get your fishes. I surrender all. Let's sing it together. Yeah. Okay, need to get your prayer request today. Over here, Dot. Anybody else over here? Well, don't forget Doc and his sweet wife as well.
Esther.
Esther. Excuse me?
And Wilma Davis is also with Ava.
Okay. Wilma Davis. Anybody over here? Prayer requests? Oh, over here.
Doyle Bungard, he's the one that lost his wife, Wanda.
Who?
Doyle Bungard. He's really having a difficult time right now.
Doyle Bungard. Anybody else? Keep my mom, Pat Zedlitz, on your list. John's mother as well. First name again, John?
Loretta.
Loretta. I apologize to you for forgetting her name every week. That just goes with my memory, the lack thereof. But keep Loretta and my mother, Pat Zedlitz, on your prayers. Anybody else? I pray for Godspeed in your travels. I know some are traveling distances after this. I know Dot and Don are going to go to Kentucky on a trip and go by way of North Carolina, I think, and be back. Yes? Oh, yes. If you all didn't get that from this message, I give up. I give up. I'm not going to give up, though, because I believe that God's in control. And I believe the Lord's going to bless His people. Okay, well, let's have our prayer, whoever is assigned to do that. Bow for a prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for You, and we give praise to You for who You are and for watching over us. We thank You for Your guidance of this nation as over the years, and that You have been the leader of this nation. We pray that we will make You our leader in the coming years. We just thank You for Your help and guidance with the nation, with their leaders, with the servicemen that have given their part of their lives or all their lives to give us freedom. We ask now that You would be with Jack's mom and John's mother, that You would ease their suffering, that You would bring them to health, and we just thank You for their lives and their influence on people while they were alive. We just ask now that You would be with Desiree and Mark and his family, that You would draw near to Desiree and help her heal. We think of Doc and Esther and Wilma Davis, that You would draw near to them and just make their later years comfortable for them, and that You would just make their years joyful, that their children and acquaintances may draw around them. We just pray now that You will go with us this day and guide us and keep us safe and return us again. In Jesus' name, amen.